Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever had an idea for a product that could possibly make you money?
Not really, no.
Tell me, would you like to learn how you can protect your idea? Have you ever wondered how to get started if you already have a product made? Tell me, can you imagine thinking like an entrepreneur?
Same thing.
Do you know how to market on a shoestring? That's something we all need to learn how to live on a shoestring. Tell me, when was the last time you heard about a product called ClipEase? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really practical, good advice. Before I introduce my guest, I would love to invite you to call in. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. And if you have any questions, just press number 1 and they'll put you right through the switchboard. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. I am honored to be a feature host, and we have over 700,000 listeners to date. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is the president of ClipEase, Inc., can share key elements for successfully bringing a new product to market from one's home. His story is written for the Small Business Administrator. It estimated 73% of the adult population that has an idea for a product and the desire to help to successfully bring it to the marketplace. He has worked in the aerospace industry at Cape Canaveral, Florida for 21 years wearing identification badges that have always been part of his working wardrobe. A large aerospace company handed out a lapel pin for a promotion in the spring of 1995. Just by chance, he pinned his company identification to the badge, to the label pin, and thus began the idea for a product that has now he has sold over 3 million of these products. It was the beginning of his journey, and I'm pleased to welcome Gary Branga to our show so he can share his journey with you today. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me today.
Okay. Well, tell us how this all came about.
Well, I can remember the moment that an idea came to me. It was this idea came to me in a break room, a conversation that I had had hundreds of times with other employees.
Uh-huh.
And that one conversation changed my life. While we were talking, we happened to be talking about wearing our identification badges.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody didn't like the way they wore them. Some people wore the lanyards, which is a string or a beads
uh-huh.
around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy actually shared a story about how a coworker actually caught his lanyard in a shredder and how dangerous it was. So, I mean, we all were kind of doing your whine in type of conversation. And like you said in the introduction, a company happened to hand out a lapel pin as a promotion, and they saw us in a group and
mm-hmm.
came by and handed one to each of us. And mm-hmm. as I walked away from our little whining session,
mm-hmm.
I pinned that badge, my ID badge, on that lapel pin, and an idea came to me.
Yeah. Oh,
I put a space and a bar so that alligator clip
could
fit right inside of it. And I drew designs day and night for, several weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
and then I finally contacted a manufacturer, and I figured, well, what I'll do is I'll test the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it'd be a little extra money, and I came up with three designs, and I had those made, and I had 200 of them made, and I gave them out, and I sold them to people close to me, and then I sat back to see if anybody wanted more, and I gave myself a trial period of 6 months. So I actually started the company with $500 and a computer.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all. And so, I mean, you don't have to borrow a lot of money. It's a real misconception that people have that I can't go in business because I don't have any money. You start slow. I sold those 200, and
uh-huh.
I bought 500. I sold those 500, and I bought 1,000. It's 18 years later, and we've sold over 3 million.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, and then you also are the author of a fantastic book called Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home. So if any of you are listening to us, this is the go-to Bible for people who are thinking about creating a product, or if you already have one made and you don't know how to bring it to market. My first question is, how do you protect that idea while you were just fooling around with it for 6 months? Did you have that idea patented?
No, what I did is you use non-disclosure forms, and that's when you talk to people about prototypes and test your idea, and it is an enforceable document. There's plenty of blank generic ones. You just type that in the search engines and then keep it on your computer and fill in the name and the time, and anybody that you talk to later, that is an enforceable document. Also, after you start spending a little bit of money, there's a thing called a provisional patent, which you might remember years ago, people used to put an idea in an envelope that they had, seal it, and mail it to themselves.
Right, yes.
Well, the patent office, they decided they could get into the act and do that, and they could record the date that you came up with an idea. Now, it's not a lot of protection, but it does establish when you came up with it. So naturally, if somebody tries to take your idea early on, you have that to fall back on and the non-disclosure to fall back on. And that gives you a year to file a regular patent or a U.S. patent, and you get the credit date back to when you did the non-disclosure. Now, that's only $100 or so dollars. You have to check those fees. They change from time to time. And you can do that all online, and that's a way to test your product, because there is no one out there that can tell you what will sell and what won't sell. The best thing to do is test. I do not recommend you go out and borrow a lot of money on an idea, even no matter how fantastic the idea is, because, like I say, there isn't anyone that can tell what will sell.
It's like going to Vegas. When you roll the dice, you have no way of knowing how it's going to end, and you really don't want to overextend yourself until you have a feeling for how people will react.
Vegas, I was going to say, my very first trade show, somebody illustrated that for me. They were talking to me about a product they had their first trade show. We were waiting for the people to come in, and he was saying that years ago he was waiting for the people to come in, and he had this lithograph that was a beautiful beautiful product.
I don't like
couldn't miss. They had spent a fortune to develop it, and it looked like oil paintings, and it was just fabulous. He said beside of him, this poor guy had these dolls that were these little tiny dolls that had hair standing straight up that were the ugliest thing he'd ever seen in his life. And he was telling the guy, don't worry, it'll be all right. Sometimes you don't sell it at your first show, and you patted him on the back. He said when those doors opened up, there was a line all over in front of his booth, all right, but it was for the guy next to him. And the guy sold a fortune of them. So you just do not know what will sell.
That's for sure. You know, right now we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back, Gary is going to share his website information and tell us all how we can order his book. We'll be right back with Gary Branga.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Gary Branga. Now, Gary, could you share your website information and tell us where we can get your books?
Yes, my website is www.garybranga.com, GaryBranga.com. And Clippies, we still sell Clippies. If you wear an ID badge, you really should see that. And that's www.clippeze.com. Mm-hmm. And my book, Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home, is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and also digitally in all the digital formats as well, or from our website. And you can also call me at 800-385-0014. 800-385-0014 to discuss your idea. I'd be happy to talk to anybody about that.
Oh, that's a wonderful offer. If you're out there listening and have an idea, you can talk to Gary. That would be fabulous. You know, Gary, I always like to ask my guests during the show if there is something that happened during their career or their life that was at the time a setback, but it turned out to be probably a defining moment that helped you go forward. Could you share something with our audience?
Well, you learn probably more from your mistakes than anything else.
Yeah.
In business, you do have setbacks, and all you can do is go forward. I think probably my worst one was I had expanded Clippy's artwork into some matching shoes, some professional shoes for nurses and vets and that type of thing. And I made some, and there was a defect, and I had to pull them all back. And that was pretty costly, but even though I did everything I should have done, that still doesn't prevent from things from just happening. But I wrote that book mainly to help people prevent some of those mistakes. You can't prevent them all, but by checking references and by doing what I outline, it certainly helps you learn from somebody else's mistakes rather than make your own. Well worth it. It's a book that I wish I had had when I started.
Oh, absolutely. Now, how does one go about thinking like a entrepreneur, and how do you generate product ideas?
Well, let me give you a little story. A friend of mine named Patrick, who I've advised and I become friends with, a Christmas, I think it was three years ago at Christmas, his wife bought him an expensive electric guitar. He had always wanted it, and it was very expensive, and she went out and bought it. Well, when he opened it up, she said, "Don't scratch that thing, I'll kill you, you know, and it's, you know, be all this." And she went to the kitchen and got a dish towel and put it behind it. And the next day after he came home from work, she had sewed a piece of cloth to fit the guitar. Well, uh-huh. There's Axe Glove is the name of their product. They sell them all around the world now. What makes one person recognize an opportunity is awareness. You need uh-huh. to be aware of all the problems in the world, local, international, national. You need to be right in there and recognize if you have a problem, everyone has a problem. In Patrick's case, some of these stars would have these huge belt buckles, and they scratch their very expensive electric guitars. Now he has a cover that fits that and along the neck, doesn't interfere with the performance, but protects that valuable asset. And it goes on and on. There's stories like this everywhere. Two college kids in Michigan, you may have heard of it, they came up with advertising on toilet paper, of all places. You can put your smartphone on there, and you can go to one of those little codes and get uh-huh. coupons. So, I mean, the ideas are endless. isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic. I love that one.
It is amazing, and I've heard such wonderful ideas through the years. I've worked with. We also coach new entrepreneurs as well.
Uh-huh.
All that information is in my book, Bringing a Product to Market, and it's been a wonderful experience to hear some of these ideas. It's just fabulous. And ideas are around us, but some people just aren't aware of them.
So if someone has an idea, they can actually call you. You were kind enough to give your phone number out, and you could listen to them and give them your opinion if it's something they should pursue.
Well, I can give my opinion, but like I said before, no one can tell them. But I can point out some of the advantages and disadvantages, and I'd be happy to. I love to talk to them, and that's where my mm-hmm. energy lies. And I may have had through my experience, I may have know something that they haven't thought of yet.
Uh-huh.
And, it's just amazing. I mean, the stories are endless. I love the guy that was snowboarding in Colorado, and he opened up his backpack, and all his snacks were ruined because a bottle of energy drink had poured over all the stuff. Most people would just throw that stuff away, clean up their backpack, and go. But he actually tasted some of the beef jerky that a Red Bull had spilled over, and he decided it tasted good, and it gave him a little bit of a jolt and woke him up. So he started a company called Perky Jerky. He makes $1.5 million a year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Perky Jerky. It doesn't get any better than that.
and he got money from angels, which today is very difficult. But when you have a clever idea and when you're enthusiastic about it, the money, believe it or not, money is available. I mean, he did have experience, and he had brought other products to market, which certainly was a factor. But you don't really need it. You can start small, and you know what kind of risk is involved with making different recipes and selling them to your friends and family until you get enough to. And through PR, next thing you know, you get an article in the paper. People are calling you. In my instance, when I got a new product, I was in the paper and I introduced my new product. Next thing you know, the phone rings and it's a bank, and a little while later, another bank, and they made an appointment to come see me in my office.
Uh-huh.
They said, "What can we do to help?" I said, "Nothing. I don't need any." And they said, "Well, why don't you take a credit line? You don't need to pay for it until you use it." I said, "Well, maybe. I got another bank coming in a couple hours, and I need to talk to them first." I ended up that day with two $50,000 credit lines. If I had made an appointment and went and saw them, I probably would have ended up with either nothing or maybe a home equity loan or something.
When you say angel, does that refer to investors?
Yes, those are a type of investor that generally take a percentage of the business and they invest, and a lot of them have a network. And what I mean by that is, say, for example, they invest in hospitals or medical industry. They may like a medical product that's going to do business with one of their other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times those people will either approach you or you approach them, and they will help you invest for part of your business It all depends on what you are bringing out and how much money it takes. Certainly, if it's a plastic item, you're going to need money for a mold. I actually had three or four ideas. Clippies just happened to be the most inexpensive and the most clever, I thought.
Wow. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about an organization that I support. And when we come back, I want to have Gary tell us how to make a prototype and where you can find a manufacturer and how you do your marketing on a shoestring. We'll be right back with Gary Branga.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play in well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with Gary Branga, the CEO of ClipEase Worldwide, Inc., and they have sold over 3 million products. Gary, could you give us that phone number again so anyone listening who has an idea will be able to call you?
Yes, it's 800-385-0014, and
okay.
I'll be business hours Eastern time.
Okay. And, you know, I will post that on our show page because these shows get archived, and people will be listening to this show all over the world. So hopefully if you have an idea, you can call Gary and talk to him about it. How does one go about making the prototype for a product?
Well,
Gary?
Prototype, usually a lot of small business magazines, home business, inventor magazines have people that will make them. Your junior college or your community college nearby generally has a small business developmental center attached to it. They know local engineers and prototype makers. Or you may want to go to a local manufacturer that manufactures something close. Just have them sign that non-disclosure before you talk to them and then ask them. And a lot of times they can't make it, but they're in the industry. They know who can.
Okay. It's a simple matter of doing some networking and getting out there. How do you suggest that people market on a shoestring? Actually, I hope all the people listening to this show who have a product will contact me and market it here.
that's a good step right there. You have to be clever. Use your imagination. I think Einstein said imagination's more important than knowledge. You'll figure out the technical stuff as you go, but use your imagination. I sold to family and friends and people local, and the whole time I was doing that, I outlined this in my book, Bringing a Product to Market, that I marketed to catalogs, both online and print catalogs. Will buy your product, and their lifeblood is new products. They'll buy your product and distribute it to many thousands, sometimes millions of people, and that gets you into an industry. The toughest thing is to break into an industry, and what I mean by that, if you get one department store, for example, you sell to Macy's, well, then Belk's is going to notice you. You see what I mean? So if you get into a catalog, in my case, I got into a medical catalog, and all the people started carrying it into the stores, and the stores called me and wanted to know if I would sell wholesale. So there, you got to be clever. I didn't have any display, so I got together with my family, and we came up with going to a dollar store and taking the cardboard easement out of a dollar picture frame and that stood up, and spray glued a sheet of paper and put our tacks on those. And, you know, that saved a fortune. And it might have been a little crude, but they sold like crazy. When we went to a trade show, I couldn't afford a trade show. Some of these trade shows are $3,000 and $5,000. But one of the companies that by this time I had a couple of sales reps, one of the companies that also used my sales reps invited me to use their table.
Oh, how wonderful.
And so I got 3 feet of their table for absolutely nothing. I signed up 57 retail stores from that show. So obviously the next year I could afford my own table.
you were moving on up.
Well, see, and a display is thousands of dollars. What I ended up doing, we talked about it, and we had a great time. We laughed, and one night, how can I come up with you know those stand-up movie stars that are in, like,
mm-hmm.
movie rental yeah. places. So I
uh-huh.
bought those for $47, I think it was, on the line, and
mm-hmm.
I made a Clippies badge of the person, and I stuck it right on their chest.
Uh-huh.
And here's John Wayne and Pamela Anderson and all these movie stars standing behind me for $40. People were wanting their picture taken with John Wayne, and he's got a Clippies attached to him. And it cost me $47, and I took it on the airplane. I didn't have to ship it.
Oh, how wonderful.
So you use your imagination. You use your imagination and you work and you do it yourself rather than farm it out. It isn't necessary to go and buy a big display that costs thousands of dollars. Later, when I went to somebody to build a display, they looked at what I had been using. They just shook their heads and said, I can't beat that. So use your imagination. You can have fun with it. Especially, you can have a lot of fun if you're not in debt. Do not go out and borrow a lot of money. Start slow.
And you mentioned in your promo that you had enough rejection letters to wallpaper your home office. So when you go out there, you have to be prepared to accept some rejection, and that's how things go forward. Don't you agree, Gary?
Oh, absolutely. And that was another way of having a little bit of humor, even though it was it tries your patience. I actually wallpapered a wall with all these, and put them at all different angles of all these thanks but no thanks. And now the majority of them are customers. They call me now, and they have for years. But once you determine that the product sells, and what I mean by that is I got my first catalog. And once I finally got that first catalog, after many, many no's, I finally got a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they estimated they were going to sell 48. Now, I don't know where they came up with 48,
mm-hmm.
unless it was what a pin had sold. But mine holding an ID badge is a whole different category. So anyhow, the first six, it was a funny story because
it's a great story, but Gary, we're going to have to close now, so we're going to have you back on
the
show.
I'll tell you what, if your viewers call me, I'll finish the story.
Oh, that's wonderful. To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch our interviews with our amazing guests like Gary with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All your comments are suggestions. Welcome. We really love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests like Gary today. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Gary Branga, the author of Bringing a Product to Market from Your Home with a $500 and an Idea, You Can Make Millions. This is January Jones thanking all of you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.